Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. It's a privilege to have this opportunity to speak from the pulpit again and try and present God's Word. Felipe said in the prayer that he hopes that we can take what we learn here today and apply it in our everyday lives. And certainly in presenting this, that's what I hope too, that it's something that we can all, and I'll say starting with me, because I came up with the topic, so that means it's something I needed, and I hope that that we can all benefit from it and learn to grow more in faith. I want to spend this lesson time today looking at three different passages from the New Testament, and I hope you'll follow along in with the readings in your own Bible. And they're from three different authors in the Bible, both the Paul and John and Peter. I say they're different authors, but when it really gets down to it, not really, because God's the author of the whole Bible. So, but the human writers were Paul and John and Peter. And as I thought of these three passages, and I thought of them because they share a very similar message. And with the Peter passage, and when we get to it, you'll see that. I mean, from the first time I read that, I understood the message of the Peter chapter. But I didn't really catch on to how Galatians and John really were saying the same thing. And so trying to decide what I was going to call this, I wasn't sure. I knew what I wanted to do. And as I thought about these three passages, I decided to call it a comforting promise of God. God's given us many promises, wonderful promises. And I think these three passages do share a promise that God is giving to us that should be very encouraging and uplifting for us. We know that God always keeps his promises, always. I mean, that could be several weeks' lessons in itself, but just think back to some things in the Old Testament when God said, you know, do this and this will happen. And it always did. And he said, do this and the other will happen. And it always did. So God keeps every promise that he's ever made. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, said that God always remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So we know that when he makes promise that he's going to keep it. And he'll keep these promises. We want to begin by looking at each of these passages individually and then to try and understand, put them together and understand what is their similar and their very consistent message, and then end up by looking at how we can be certain to share in these promises by really making sure that we put them into our daily life. So let's begin with Galatians, the fifth chapter in verse 16. Of course, this is a section that talks about the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. And I'm not going to read the whole section, but I want to focus on verse 16. And verse 16 says, but I say, walk by the spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now there's a promise right there. Walk by the spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk the way God tells us, and we will not sin. That's the desire of the flesh. So what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Well, he goes on to list later in the chapter these as the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we need to walk in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And no, I'm not going to give a paragraph on each of those or we'd never get out of here tonight. You know, we know what those are. They're wonderful, godly, Christian qualities that our Lord wants us to walk in. And we could take each one of those and have several lessons on them and still not be done. But we need to focus our lives on these qualities. And with everything that we think and everything that we do and every action that we take, we need to be focused on joy and peace and love, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On those things rather than the things of the world. That needs to be our focus. And when we do that, when every thought is focused on the fruits of the Spirit, we will just naturally stay away from the flesh. We will naturally stay away from the things that tempt us. Now, you know, James, the fourth chapter in verse 7, kind of ties in with all, this also. It says, resist the devil and he will flee. Okay, well, that's kind of like walking in the Spirit and you're not going to sin. You're going to stay away from the deeds of the flesh. Now, the devil's going to come back. You know, you can't resist him one day and say, oh, great, we got this one beat. He's going to be back every day. But the Lord promises that when we resist, the devil will give up for at least a little while and walk away. But not long enough, unfortunately. He'll be back. So, but now, am I suggesting that there's some perfection here? That, you know, as long as we wake up like, okay, I'm focused on joy today, I'm focused on love, I'm really going to self-control, that absolutely we'll never stumble. Well, no, I'm not saying that. Because we are human beings. As Christians, we shouldn't sin. You know, we had a great lesson on that from Scott a few weeks ago. But we do stumble from time to time. But remember 1 John, the first chapter and verse 7, where we're told to walk in the light. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. And Scott does an amazing illustration. I don't know any better illustrations than what he's done about what it means to walk in the light. Because it's not perfection. Okay, and if you haven't heard the story, you know, it's pretend you're a little kid and you're walking to school and you've got a fairly long walk. And you just decide, as sometimes little kids do, well, I'm not using the sidewalk today. I'm not using the street. I'm walking on the curb. All the way. I'm walking on the curb. And you start out to school, and you're walking on that curb. And you go half a block, and you're tripping. You're in the gutter. Well, do you stay in the gutter? Nah, you get back up on the curb. And you keep going. And before you get to school, you've probably tripped a couple more times. But you're not satisfied with tripping. You don't stay there. You get back up on the curb. And actually, the more you do it, the better you get at it, and your balance gets better. And, you know, maybe you got a day you walk all the way to school on the curb. Okay, well, that's what it means to walk in the light, and that's what it means to walk by the Spirit. We're always striving to walk in those qualities. Okay, we're never giving up on that. Okay, so let's remember that for now. We've got to walk by the Spirit. And when we do, we'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. Let's move on to the second verse. And this is in John, the 10th chapter. And John, the 10th chapter, in verses 27 through 29, John writes, my sheep hear my voice. Of course, this is Jesus speaking. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. And they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So what a great promise. My sheep who hear my voice follow me. And the result is I know them. I give them eternal life. Well, that's why we're here, isn't it? It's not about here. It's about where we're going to be in eternal life. They shall never perish. What a promise. They shall never perish. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. Now, if this passage sounds a little familiar in terms of some false doctrine, there are people that use this passage and say, see, we will never perish. Once we're a Christian, we will never perish. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. So once I'm a Christian, once saved, always saved. And there's part of the tool of false doctrine. Well, when they do that, they're ignoring verse 27. Because who are the sheep that will never perish and will have eternal life, and no one will snatch them out of the Father's hand? They are those that hear the word of Christ and follow the word of Christ. That is the promise. And that's a wonderful promise. You know, not once I've even legitimately become a Christian. A lot of times the people that preach this preach you don't need baptism either. You know, just accept Christ into your heart, and once saved, always saved, and you're golden. Well, that would be nice. That would be fine, but that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not part of God's plan. Okay, but what is part of God's plan is a fantastic promise. Hear him and follow him, and you'll live with him eternally. You know, at the Transfiguration, the Father said, listen to him. Listen to my son. Listen to Jesus. In Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 12, Luke writes that there's salvation in no other name but Jesus. And in James, the 4th chapter, verse 7, it says that Jesus' word is able, and I should add, Jesus' word implanted, it means it's part of us, we're living it, that Jesus' word implanted is able to save our souls. So we've got to hear Jesus, okay? But hearing, even with understanding, isn't enough. In Matthew 7:21, the Lord says that he who does the will of my Father will enter heaven. Not just the person that says, Lord, Lord. It's easy to say, Lord, Lord, and then go my own direction. But he who does the will of my Father will enter heaven. Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? I mean, what hypocrisy. Okay, you call somebody Lord and you don't pay attention? You know, you call somebody boss at work and not do what they say? Do you expect to keep that job? I don't think so. Well, this is a lot more important than any job. And John, at least 6 times between the gospel and his epistles, points out that loving God equals obeying God. They're one and the same. So is there a guarantee of salvation here in John? Absolutely there is. To everyone that hears the Lord and follows him, he absolutely guarantees that we will never perish and we absolutely will have eternal life. You're probably already seeing a pattern. So now let's go to 2 Peter, the first chapter. And I'm sure I've done lessons like this just on 2 Peter, the first chapter, the first few verses, because it's a great section that talks about how as Christians we need to grow. Every day we need to grow. And if you start in verses 3 and 4, it says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. A lot of the points are right there in those couple verses. You know, what has he given us? He's given us his knowledge. Okay, we can know him. We can hear him. And when we do that, we can escape the corruption of this world. Okay, and in verses 5 and 6, it goes on to say, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control perseverance, in your perseverance godliness, in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. You know, we're seeing a lot of lists tonight. Okay, and here's another list. And Peter says, these are qualities that Christians need to have. You know, and we have to. Let's begin with the word diligence. You know, what does the word diligence mean? I love the word diligence because it points out the importance of taking our spiritual life seriously. You know, we've all heard the term Sunday Christian. There is no such thing. There just is no such thing. If we're not a Christian with every breath that we take, then we're not faithfully a Christian. Okay? What we do as a Christian, we have to do diligently. We have to strive for. We have to work hard. You know, Eddie talked this morning about it's hard work being a Christian. We have to be dedicated. We have to be serious. We have to be committed. And that's what diligence helps us to understand. If we're diligent about something, we're putting every thought and effort and energy into it that we possibly can. And that's how we have to approach this. So then you look at all these qualities that are up here. You know, faith and moral excellence and self-control and perseverance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The order's not even important. You know, maybe your faith is feeling really strong, okay, but your self-control is a little weak right now. I got to work on that tomorrow, don't I? Actually, I better not wait till tomorrow. Okay? Showing great love. I'm really showing love for my brother and for the Lord. But I'm a little impatient in a few things. I got to work on that. So the order's not important. But we've got to, what is important is that we diligently work at improving in each of these qualities. And here's the payoff, verses 8 to 11. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent, there's that word again, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and his choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied. So, with diligence, we have to focus on these qualities. And we have to look, okay, where do I need to get better? Where do I need to get better? I need to improve. What do I need to work on? And every day, work on something to be better, to be more Christ-like. And it says, as long as you practice these things, as long as you practice these things, you will get better. You will improve. You know, there's the old adage in business and in sports and a lot of places that you're either getting better or you're getting worse. There's no staying the same. Okay? It's true in Christianity too. We either keep growing or we go backwards. And what Peter is saying is that we need to keep growing. And what he's saying with it is that as long as we practice these qualities, we will get better and we will never stumble. Down to the result. The result is we will never stumble and our entrance into the eternal kingdom is abundantly supplied. We're seeing a lot of great promises from God in these passages. And let's kind of put them all together now onto one chart. You're going to see some duplications on this chart because I wanted to get in the wording from all those passages. So, you know, there's a lot of overlap here, but that's a good thing. So what do we have to do according to all those passages? We have to walk by the Spirit. We have to hear Jesus. We have to follow Jesus. It's pretty much the same as walking by the Spirit, I think. We have to be diligent. We have to practice godly qualities. Well, that's kind of walking by the Spirit too and following Jesus. And when we practice, we will grow. There's no question. If you practice those things, you will grow in those things. So that's what we need to do. But God promises to us, He guarantees us that when we do, we will not fall to the desires of the flesh. We will have eternal life. We will never, never perish. No one can snatch us from His hand. Can't happen. We will never stumble. And entrance into God's eternal kingdom is abundantly supplied. That's a guarantee from God. And that's to everyone that follows His will. That is His guarantee. So what does that mean for us? What do we have to do with that? Okay, well, here's a phrase now. In the last four sermons, you've heard this three times. Okay, because Jonathan did a great sermon on it Sunday morning a week ago. Eddie brings it up again today. Okay, but it's so true. You know, when Jonathan asked that question last week, I mean, if you were here last Sunday morning, and if you weren't, you know, you need to think about this. What is the most important day in your life? Day you were born? You don't have a life, right, if you weren't born. Day you got married? If you're married, that's pretty important. How about the day you were baptized? But they're all done. They're past. The most important day in our lives is today. Every day. Every day that's today, that's the most important day in our life. Because that's the time we have to live. I can't change yesterday. If I didn't live well enough yesterday, I can't fix that. And if I was really good yesterday, that's not, well, it might help me a little bit today because it helped me strengthen me. But I still need to start over again today. Okay? Today is the most important day in our life. We've got to take today and live it for God. I can't live tomorrow today. I'll deal with that one tomorrow. So it's just such an important point that Jonathan made and Eddie reflected on also this morning. Every day we've got to devote to the Lord. And what do we have to do? Okay, every day we have to hear the voice of God. We have to hear Jesus, His Son. We have to follow Him. We have to be led by the Spirit. We have to follow joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All of those things. Every day we need to be focused on them. Okay? We need to, with diligence, practice all these qualities. If we practice them, we're going to grow in faith and moral excellence and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Every day we have to work on all of these things. And there are so many passages that repeatedly tell us what to fill our lives with. Okay, in Philippians, one of my favorite passages, one of the most uplifting passages there is in the Bible, I think. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Just lost my place. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That peace of God, we have that, and it protects us. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. What is your mind dwelling on? What a great list that is. Find those things in your life. Find those things in other people. Find those things in God. dwell on those things every day with every thought that you possibly can. Even when something bad happens, think about good things. Hey, we have to deal with bad things. Okay, but think about all the good, all the blessings that we have. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God shall be with you. It's where we start in verse 7, with the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. And when we focus on these beautiful things that Paul lists in verse 8, that's what we need to fill our life with. We'll have the peace of God in our hearts because of that. You know, in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, you know, we've got a number of verses that tell us in regard to sin. It says, just get away from it. Flee it. And that's good advice. But that's never the end of the advice. And if you think running away from sin or temptation is enough, then you need to understand what the rest of the verse says. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. After he talked about false teaching and bickering and arguing among brethren and controversial questions, and then got into the problem with the love of money, talks about those nasty things, and then he says, but flee from these things. And then there's a period and he goes on to a new topic, right? No, because there's more than just flee. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. There's another list of great qualities. It's not just the getting away from. It's the getting away from, and now let's get to the things that are going to make us closer to God. Okay, go over to 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verse 22. Now flee from youthful lusts. Another great advice. And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Okay, so every day we need to fill our lives with godly things, everything that's godly, things that he would love. So what am I hoping that we will all do as a result of reflecting on this lesson? I'm hoping that we will each make a plan or if we already have a plan, update your plan on how to live our life spiritually every day so that we are immersing ourselves in growing in Christ. And I take that word immerse very seriously. Okay? Matthew 22:37 and several other places, you know, Jesus says to love God, and he says this is the most important commandment, to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. He doesn't say most of it. He doesn't even say 99%. We need to be totally immersed in loving God with all of our heart and our mind and our soul. Our focus in life has to be God. Okay? Now look, we have jobs, we have families, we have responsibilities. Yes, we do. And the more focused we are on God, the better job we do with all of those other responsibilities. So let's make a plan, each of us, or update our plan, to how am I going to gain from these promises? God said, follow me. God said, listen to me. God said, walk by the Spirit. God said, grow and practice these qualities, and you will never stumble. And you will be in heaven with me. I promise you that. Okay? So how are we going to do that? Make a plan. Make a plan to walk after Jesus. Make a plan to grow in those qualities. Okay? That plan is a very personal plan. Because we're all different. We all have different lives. We all have different schedules. You know, 3 years and a month ago, I was still working full time. You know, that. So my plan then probably wasn't as good as it should have been, quite frankly. But it was different than now I'm retired. I can do different things. I have more time. Okay, so I've got a different plan. Some of you have children at home, some of you don't. Some of you work, some of you don't. So we've all got a different schedule. We've all got different responsibilities in our lives. We all have different people in our lives. But we all have the same responsibility to immerse ourselves in Christ. To hear him every day. To follow him every day. So I really plead with you, make a plan. Okay? How are you going to grow just a little bit every day? Make sure you read a little bit every day. I mean, there's things you can do. God has given us tools to do this. Okay? The fact that this is a personal plan, that only relates to your schedule and your responsibilities. Okay? God already gave us the things we need to do. He told us what to do. Okay? And here's a short list. Prayer's got to be there every day, multiple times. We've got to pray. I mean, we could do a couple lessons on that, and I won't, at least not right now. But we've got to pray. It's so important. We have to be in the Bible. We've got to read. And just reading God's word is great. Okay? Studying is a different level. Okay? But even if you just sit down and read a chapter a day. Okay? You come here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night for Bible class. Well, a lot of people speak up, so generally they've done a little preparation, hopefully, before they speak up. Even if you don't speak up, take a few minutes and do the lesson. Read the material, look at the questions, and maybe you prefer not to speak up, and that's fine. But you're going to get a lot more out of the class if you do a little prep for that. So pray, study, spend time with other Christians, whether it's just socializing, inviting them for a meal, giving them a hand when they need some help with something. Just spending time with Christians is a wonderful way to grow. Focus on overcoming bad habits. Well, bad habits are usually just sin. Okay? So whatever you want to call it, because remember, you've got all those qualities that we want to increase in. So if you're not so good in one of those, well, maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's sin. I'm not sure which. But whatever, what you need to improve in your spiritual life, look at it and say, you know, I'm going to get a little bit better at that today. Okay. Remember, every first day of the week when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that is such an opportunity for each and every one of us, and I'm convinced that that's why God gave it to us. We really need to focus on what we're doing. And Paul tells us there are two reasons, two things we need to do. We need to reflect on the Lord's death, and we need to consider ourselves. And when we do that, what a humbling experience that is. What a spiritual experience that is. And the list can go on and on and on of things that we need to do and we can do in making our plan to grow in Christ. But the bottom line is that these are God's promises. He says that if we hear and follow him, he will strengthen our faith, he will keep us from sin, and he will bring us home to heaven. But we've got to do our part. Our part doesn't save us. Okay, nothing but the blood of Christ saves us. But we do have to live for him. You talk about being fully immersed in your work. But was Jesus fully immersed in his work? Okay, and as we looked at this morning, you know, you look at what he went through. Yeah, he was fully committed. And it's that commitment and that blood that saves us. But we can't take that blood for granted. We need to live like we love the person that shed that blood. And so I pray that we will all remember these promises that God has made. And in remembering them, do what we need to do to show our love for him by hearing him and following him. Because God keeps his promise. God always keeps his promise. So let's live up to our end of it. But if you're not part of Christ tonight, then you need something else, something before, something leading up to that. You know, you need the here part first. So if there's any here tonight that don't understand God's message, I hope you're already studying the Bible. If you're not, please do. There are plenty of people here that would like to study with you. And but if you have studied and you believe, then you need to obey. And there's no better time than now to do it, because we don't know about tomorrow. I have plans for tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, but I know what I have planned for tomorrow if tomorrow comes along and nothing else gets in the way. But now is available. Today is available. And whether it's committing yourself to the Lord or whether it's saying, you know, maybe there's a couple things I need to do a little bit better. Well, make that commitment. Please do make that commitment to step up and do what we need to do so that we will all inherit the promises that God has made for us. Whatever needs you have, come on forward now as we stand and sing the song that was announced.